just saying. And so I put it into action and I started to try it. And I was just amazed at the three or four opportunities that I had, how receptive. I mean, it's just like the simplest thing. You think it wouldn't make any difference. I mean, it was kind of what was going on in my mind. How big a difference can that really make? It was paramount. It was, I actually saw my youngest daughter modeling to her sister in something where I just said, I said, honey, how if I said, you know, our no is going to be no. It's no television tonight because mommy had asked you three times to come to dinner for tonight. Okay? I said, but, you know, and it's important that daddy's no means no, mommy's no means no. Just like I'm sure that you want our yes to mean yes. If I told you yes about something and then I changed my mind to no, how would you feel about that? Don't you want daddy's yes to be yes and our no's to be no's? And she said, I do. And so Karen went up and returned the TV on the side. So I said, no, that's not it. That's who we are at the table.
I guarantee that's
crazy. Only God could do that.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's something that Donna brought up last week. Because, you know, sometimes you don't know what to say. What will be the moral reason in this instance, you know? And she had brought up, you know, just pouring her heart out to God. And, you know, God will give you wisdom for the moment. And if you just, you know, number one is humility. Because you refuse God the ability to be able to influence your heart if you're in a state of pride. So when you humble yourself, God has the opportunity to come in and influence you. And I mean, like that, what you were able to give them was probably a direct influence from God's heart to your heart to their heart. You know, that's awesome. Very cool.
You know what frustrated me this week? I have a frustration. There were a few times that I would give the reason, and like, okay, my friend, I pick the girls up from school. My friend wants to know if she can go out to eat with us. Well, honey, we don't have the money to go out to eat. We're not going to be able to do that. Tonight's not a good night for that. The funds are not there. And the frustrating part for me is, well, why? Like, it comes again. And then I'm like, I just told you why. And then I'm calling the second round. I'm doing pretty good. And then if it goes to a third time, why? Then by then, I'm usually going to snap because I've told you twice, you need to open up your ears and you need to listen. And then I just turn it into, you know, something... frustration, I guess you could say. So, I don't know. I've been, you know, seeking God's help with that, but it happened a few times this week. And your wife was telling me, don't beat yourself up. You know, and other people were saying, you know, you just got to baby step and try it, but that was frustrating.
Right.
That, and this one does it more than the younger. I mean, the constant, even after I've given, and I'm like, really? So, you know, that's tough.
Is
I don't know if anybody has any advice on that. But
I'm just opening this up for discussion. Is there a way that you can say, why are you asking me for the third time? Can you put the question back on her?
That's a good idea.
And say, why are you asking me this for the third time? What part of this are you not understanding?
So I can explain it so you will understand.
Are you characterized by changing your answer if they keep asking? That's another thing.
In the past, yes. That's why they keep asking. We have to ask. We're waiting for the seventh. And that has happened to both of us. And I didn't think of that, so that I'm sure it's going to take time to, and like he said, our yes is going to mean yes, and our no is going to be no.
Yeah, I think that for us it's just, we haven't done it perfectly, you know, up till this point, so, you know, I think it's just going to be, it's a training process. I mean, training is a process.
For them too.
It's not going to just change overnight, and that we have to, I think at the same time, I think the lesson we're learning is, for me, it's just a lot of patience.
And I love yours.
Realizing, last night I got another message out of it. It was just realizing, not in a demeaning way, but how little my kids know. You know, and just, you know, how little that I've really taught. I mean, I was sharing with my daughter about the enemy. Something that during our prayer time that brought up about angels, and went into sharing the truth about this battle that's going on that you can't see, and how the enemy tries to discourage us as a family and individually, as two sisters, that maybe she hears voices, because we all do it. And sometimes you may hear the voice that, you know, belong to daddy or your sister or whatever on you. I started to just whisper these things to her. And I said, do you hear those things? And she says, I mean, do you hear those voices? And I was like, wow.
She does hear that.
Do you hear those voices? And she says, yes, I do hear those things.
That's her.
And so, you know, it was just an eye-opener that, you know, part of this training is really preparing our kids to know the truth about what's going on out there, because they're being attacked, and they don't even know it, you know. And it's starting at probably younger than what they are right now. And so, you know, it was just—I'll tell you what—if nothing else comes out of this first chapter or this whole book, then the awareness of that, it was all worth it for that. Just in that one chapter, it's just awesome.
Well, let me say two things. Number one, as many times as we've been through this, we always lapse. Yeah. And we do forget stuff. I mean, now they call it couch time, but the importance of having a set aside time where we get together and we communicate in front of the children, where we demonstrate love in front of them, is not consistent. We do it, but it's definitely not consistent. And so, I mean, this is even a reminder for us. I mean, don't beat yourself up for what you haven't done up to this point. And, you know, if it doesn't go smoothly, if you forget some things, I mean, it's all about learning, growing. It's a lifetime of learning. And, you know, I wish I had heard this 45 years ago. Well, the thing is we're all a product of our life's experiences. And based on the experience that you have in your past and what God is revealing to you now is giving you an opportunity to, you know, just still do something greater for him from this day forward. You know, because, you know, even though your children might be grown or your children might not be here, you know, the truth is, you know, God is still at work in hearts. And you're still alive, you know. So as long as we live and breathe and have a relationship with the Lord, God will use us, if we allow him to be instruments of his love and blessing to those around us. So don't anybody... You know, just use this as an opportunity to see things for what it really is. And like I, you know, I suggested to some, and really all of us probably ought to do this to some degree, is to look at these principles and see, when I was growing up, how did this affect me? So, anyway, one of the things from tonight that I want to talk about, the importance of the husband-wife relationship that stood out to me is, again, God is painting a picture that we don't even realize yet. And the fact that God wanting to redeem mankind to himself, God the Son became a man. God became a man. And what is God saying? In his eternal plan, it is not good for the man to be alone, and he is preparing a bride for the Son of God to help him in his future eternal plans. We all have a huge part to play in that. You know, so if you're thinking, you know, that that you're not married now, you know, we are all one day going to be married to the Lord. We are preparing ourselves as a beautiful bride for our Lord, for His service. So understanding the beautiful picture that He created for all of us of the man and the woman, and that the woman was created to help the man. It's painting a picture in our minds of something that's yet to come. So if you don't have a husband, you know, there are many examples in Scripture of women who gave themselves to helping men who were serving the Lord. You know, so I mean, that's something that I got out of this.
I think a danger, and I've been, as you know, Tara, I've considered with you guys before, there's very, 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 very little that you could ever disagree with everything they say, because they have such sound Scripture and life examples applied to everything that they teach. The one thing, though, that I think is dangerous is the concept that he said that the wife was sent to complete the husband. That is not a concept. And it can also put a heavy on a person that's single, because it makes them think they're not complete. And that's not true. The word, he said that the word for helpmate, part of the meaning of that word meant complete, to complete, and it is not. It means to support, which means to come along and relate.
Right. Actually, I had that in my notes.
Okay. So that's a dangerous... I mean,
right. You're right.
It's a nice warm fuzzy that married people like to hear, but we don't realize that by adding the Scripture, that actually takes something away from people that are single, and it makes a statement about them that's not true.
Right.
And so it's more coming alongside, coming into union with, coming into oneness.
Yeah, to give aid. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, one more to you. Too, is compliment.
Well, true.
Oh, that's that is part inherent in the word, is to compliment. It is, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
What other things
do
you think universal phrases that people use that I think is really neat is looking at it from the different perspectives of God as the parents, and how are we receiving from Him as a child, and what He's trying to do these things to us, you know, teaching us the moral reason, showing us the unity between the Godhead and how stable they are, you know, and how we can find refuge in that stability. And then looking at it from the other perspective as, you know, what I know there was another broad I had because it's not coming clearly, but I know one of the things was that looking at what example will be, regardless if we're in any relationship, regardless if we're a parent, how are we, again, being a model of these things, of just the godly character to others that are around us and watching us. If the other thought comes back, I'll share it. But I don't
know. Right, and that would be, too, as shepherds, you know, of a flock, you know, we have a responsibility of demonstrating these things to other children of God. You know? So there are lots of applications. You know, we just have to be open to see. And in fact, if you just ask God the question, you know, show me, how does this apply to me? And, you know, we talk about that too, that when we're hearing a message, often we'll hear the message in, you know, how this would relate to someone else. Oh man, I wish so-and-so was here today. They really could have used this. And, if you ever have that thought, I mean, at the moment you have that thought is when you ought to ask the Holy Spirit, how does this apply to me? Because there's at that moment, there's a block. You're not seeing it. You're not seeing what the Holy Spirit wants to give you today. Because, you know, give us this day our daily bread. God wants to speak to us every day. And especially when God is prepared, you know, through one of His shepherds to feed the sheep, God has prepared a meal. And so, you know, for us to come to the table and think, man, this steak and potatoes looks really good. I'm so sorry that Frank isn't here, because he really would have enjoyed this, you know. But, you know, maybe you've got other foods that you particularly like, and those are on the table too, you know, and you're just not seeing it. So the point being, when we all come here, you know, I believe this is something that God wanted the whole fellowship to go through, and even, you know, inviting people in. We were initially thinking of there was a few couples from the school, and the school that our children attend, we have to go through classes like this continually. This one we only have to do, what, every 5 years. Family education units where we continue to further our parenting education. I just knew in my heart this was something that as a community that we needed to go through together, because this is part of our focus in not being me-centered but other-centered, is leaving a legacy for the next generation. I strongly believe that's one of the reasons why God is having all of us go through this together, is so that he can put something on the inside of us, you know, that in a moment we can give to a child when that door is open. Anyway, there was Mark brought up the.
I think the thing, and this may be what Terry was going to bring up, but God is a good parent. Doesn't make us the center of his universe.
Amen.
He's not a child-centered parent. He is a good parent, he's constantly wanting us to look outside of ourselves to others.
Right.
He says no, it means no.
So, my no means no. Don't you want my yes to mean yes?
That's exactly right. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great counter to that.
Yeah.
So, now, I had an asterisk that you know that you brought up, because the man was alone and needed someone to help him. Now, the picture that I saw is that in God painting a picture, he's showing us that we do need each other. And God will call people alongside of you to help you. And again, you know, you look at Paul, or you look at Jesus, and God called, you know, either widowed or, you know, whatever women, to come alongside and to help him. So, even a single person, you know, they can find that they've been given gifts and callings to come alongside and to be an aid somewhere in the body. And there's a reason, and even, you know, Paul said that, you know, some people have this gift. You know, we're, you know, I wish all were as I am, but yet, you know, not everybody is like me. And, you know, if you're going to burn with passion, it would be better that you get married, you know. So there are those who are set in the body who actually have the freedom to be able to spend themselves on whatever the Lord wants them to do. That is a gift. You can look at it as a curse, you know? but it actually is a gift. And, you know, that's not to say that in time, you know, God wouldn't put someone in your life. But the point is, during your single years, and that's something that we were taught at Church of the Cross, during singles classes, is to not always be looking forward to what you don't have, you know, but take the time that you do have. And in fact, once you take the focus off of the fact that you don't have someone, and you know, give yourself and your freedom and your time to the Lord, it's usually probably not within 6 months to a year that God brings someone into your life. Sometimes you think, you know, did the enemy do this to stop my progress with the Lord? You know, because you would typically find that when a person really dedicated their heart to the Lord, that within a year, someone came into their life. And I don't know the reasons for that, but anyway, and that was particularly for those who were in high school and college age.
One of the things that helped me on that subject was too often I have heard, just trust the Lord, God will send you someone, or God's preparing you someone. And I'm thinking, it came to me, what is that man, what is God saying to that man? Is he preparing someone for him? And is it going to be me? Haven't helped the guy. You know? You know, that's what I think of. And I'm thinking, you know, God, it's a two-way street with God. You know, it's just not all about the woman, you know. And I hear this a lot with the single women. You know, it's, you know, God is going to meet your need, you know, or whatever. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, that poor man,
right,
whoever
yeah.
he is.
Yeah.
Even going back to the original principle from the first lesson, you know, where we can't be thinking of me-isms. We have to be thinking of me-isms.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I thought that was good as an illustration about that.
Yeah, that was good.
I just, that really just, to me, Debbie and Jason and Julia, their whole concept there, I mean, it's Julia's heart. It's definitely, it's a we-ism. Because she's always looking out for her brother, you know what I mean? And, I mean, different people even, like, we went to Chick-fil-A, they had a sponsor night where 20% or something they gave back to the school. So, I mean, the whole school shows up, you know? And so, I mean, it, literally, it seemed like it. And, but, I mean, just even other parents, she goes, oh, she is just so good. Because, I mean, she'd go in there into the little play area because, of course, Josiah won't usually go up in the tower or anything. But you know, I mean, it was a lot of pit. But I mean, she was just right there with me and make sure everything was fine, you know? And she says, she has such a sweet heart for her brother, you know? And you can just see it's not... You know, most kids, well, you know, a lot of little 11-year-olds, it's me, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, she really doesn't do that. I mean, you just see that concept in the family. It's all about, even though Josiah, I don't think he understands the we-ism because, you know, of his autism and stuff. But yet it's just, I mean, they're always, you know, in the interaction between them as a family unit, it just symbolized that to me.
I know that was really good. Interject something here. In one of my classes a year or two ago, I asked the kids, you know, do you see yourself as a prince or do you see yourself as princess? You know, and every one of them said yes, except for Julie. I said, you don't see yourself as a princess? And she said, no. And that really floored me. She doesn't have a me-ism, she has a we-ism. Mm-hmm. You know, Talia, you could see that. Mm-hmm. Boy, it was interesting.
Another thought that was occurring to us over the years, especially when delegating chores to children, that we all have a part to play in helping the family run smoothly. And a lot of times when the parents are always picking up behind their children, and then the children, they want time. And, you know, we've had to have several conversations where we say, you know, we're all given 24 hours to do whatever it is that we need to do throughout the day. And so I don't know if you realize that when you're not being responsible over your own things, you're actually taking someone else's time. That's time that belongs to them. And you're stealing that time from them. You know, and also, you know, that the time that we could be spending together could be a lot. We could have more of it if we all work together, you know, rather than you're off doing your thing, and then, you know, by the time, you know, mommy gets done cleaning up after everybody, she's exhausted, she doesn't want to play, you know. But if everybody had their part to play, and everybody should be thinking about, you know, their own room as, this is my responsibility. And then beyond that, you know, Faith cleans out the litter box, and Joshua takes out the trash, and that's just something that every member has a part to play, and so that teaches kind of a team concept, and you're not doing it because you know, this is my chore. Well, yeah, we all have things we have to do because we're a team, and the team works together to accomplish a goal, and it's been a while actually. We haven't done it since Ruskin. I don't even remember what our family goal was. I remember we sat down to talk about, you know, who are we as a family, and what is it that God has called us as a family to do. That's been so long ago, I don't remember, but I remember it was helpful at the time. We all sat down, and we tried to think, you know, what does God want us to do as a family to create an identity, you know, that our family is working together to accomplish something for the Lord. And, of course, you know, when they get older and they start developing their own families, then, you know, God may incorporate that into what he's already, you know, doing in your family, or, you know, he may be beginning a new work, whatever. But those things help in facilitating we-isms.
Our kids used to not want to help with chores. Well, a couple of years ago we had a maid, but that went away. Because of finances, and that was a hard thing for them, because it would be like a maple thing. Okay, yeah. So it was really hard, and I sat down with them and thought, okay, what's a way that I can get them to buy in? Because, you know, one of them might take 3 hours to do one thing, while the rest of us are, you know, busting it all over the house. So I said, okay, we're going to sit down, and each week I let a different one go first, you know, Daddy or Jordan, Kyle, or myself. I said, okay, and they know all our rooms. Here's all the, now they're responsible for their own room, like you said. And we're responsible for our own room. Okay, pick one. Just say, okay, this week I want Mommy and Daddy's bathroom. Okay. And so I pencil them in. And then they really, it's on paper, and they get a kit. We're like, okay, let's get it done so we can go do, go to the beach or whatever. And so we kind of have a set time, and they'll come, I'm done with mine, and I'm done with mine. And that seemed to really, like, just instill that we as them, not, it's all about me. And, you know, so now they seem to really want to, so we can have that time together.
Right.
But it took a while.
I think it was more that this isn't, it's not going to be Saturdays for Mommy and Daddy to do the house. If we're one.
Right.
If Mommy's cleaning and Daddy's cleaning, we're all cleaning.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, we've really just tried to put things in place that would just gravitate the family to oneness. And, you know, all the things that we do, it could be chores, but it could be, you know, one of them having, a big week for something that's going on, an exam or whatever, so we just try to rally around that person.
During the week, we're not
very good.
Yeah. During the week, our house is all
right. Well, that's, you know, something that I thought about years ago, especially the one house we had where our daughter's room was directly down the hall from our room. And I remember thinking, you know, I want to go in there and tell her, you know, that she needs to pick up a room, but then I turn around and think.
I
can't say that just yet because I got some work I got to do myself.
And they do notice that because they make comments.
Yeah. What about your shoes?
Well, that's true. Are you going to do a laundry for me, Mommy?
And one thing that you know, she started was that if you want your clothes clean, you need to bring them from your room into the laundry basket.
Mm.
You know, and then, you know, they're going,
like,
how come I don't have such and such? Well, did you bring it to me? You know, so I mean that. Right, exactly. So I don't know, but they, I think once or twice they might have had to wear something dirty.
They have.
Yeah.
They have.
Yeah.
One doesn't care so much.
I wonder which one.
Again, I wonder what the Quakers, how they do it. Because they don't even consider reward-based.
Right.
And we're doing this as a unit,
yes,
for, because we're going to have fun on a certain day. It's their life.
But they, but everything they do together. So
right.
Everything is family.
Yes.
The, you know, the dad doesn't go off to work and the mom doesn't go off to work. It's there. They're there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So family time is all.
Right.
That's
the
good to whatever.
Yeah, that's another thing about our society. That's, you know, people right now, families, parents are so busy. You know, either with a job or, you know, all the events in the life of their children. And it takes away. When 5 o'clock comes, it's not the end of the day like it was, you know, 50 years ago or 60 years ago. You know, when the sidewalks didn't pull up and nothing was open, you know.
Right.
It's still very active. And that's a detriment, I think.
Okay, so does everybody understand what their assignment is? If you're a couple...
Yes.
Obviously, you know, your children need to see a tangible demonstration of your love for one another.
Yes.
Okay.
Model intimacy.
Right. If you're, you know, single, you know, have some time with the Lord on the couch. And again, just to avoid legalism, you know, it doesn't have to be. You're not doing this as an approval.
15 minutes. It's up. Let's go.
Right.
Mid conversation. Let's stop.
Especially, you know, if you're having, you know, couch time with the Lord, and you had mentioned, you know, how good it would be for your children to see, you know, having your time, you know, in front of them. But it can be different each time. You know, you may pick a spot to have it, but that might look different each time. You know, it could be that, you know, your time with the Lord is just, you know, sitting there with a cup of coffee and, you know, God, I'm just going to, I'm going to be quiet before you. Be still and know that He is God, you know. Be still before Him. I'm going to sit here still, and Lord, if there's anything you want to, you know, speak to my heart, I'm just open, you know. Other times it could be you want to pour your heart out before God, like, you know, a woman would do with her husband. You know, I just need to pour my heart out before you, and I thank you, God, that you have heard my cry. You know, I thank you for just listening to me. You know, so I mean, it can look different, but the idea is to get yourself in an established routine where, you know, well, especially now for children, that they're seeing a tangible picture of your love. But for all of us, even outside of that, it can be helpful for our children to see that that we have a tangible love for our Lord. Mm-hmm. And so everybody can have that assignment, right? To be working on, you know, how can I do something that shows tangibly to the world that I love my Lord? That's our assignment this week. So, yeah, why don't you pray?
Father God, we just thank you for this evening. I just want to start by thanking you for the rain that we received tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
thank you. Just thank you for that. Just thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. And just pray that you would just bring these things back to our remembrance, to our belief, and that we would just be diligent. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen.